to visit all the very gay places, those come what may places, where one relaxes on the axis of the wheel of life, to get the feel of life from jazz and cocktails. The girls I knew had sad and sullen gray faces.
And that was an introduction for our wonderful guest this morning. Joining me in the studio is Lynnie Godfrey, award-winning Broadway singer-actress, who's a guest artist with the Allentown Symphony Pops Orchestra next weekend. Lynnie, good morning.
And good morning to you. How are you doing this
Excellent,
morning?
And yes. It's wonderful to have you here.
Thank you so much. It's wonderful to be asked. You know, that was the Lush Life that we recorded up at Red Rock here and in the Poconos, and that was with a quartet. But what our audiences are going to hear next weekend is Lush Life with a full orchestra, and it's really lush, to just kind of coin a phrase. It's a different kind of sound. The difference almost is, as we were talking earlier, the quartet is like we're all walking and marching together. But the orchestra is as if I'm just on a magic carpet and they're just floating underneath me. It's just a wonderful feeling.
Excellent.
Wonderful. Yes.
And how did you, just to go back to with orchestra context, mm-hmm. how did you come together with the orchestra? How did that happen?
Well, I did two performances at the jazz series that Symphony Orchestra puts on, and they both did quite well. One sold out a bit before the performance in, I think, 2013, and then 2014, it sold out a month in advance.
Oh, my.
And we had to turn away a number of people. And so I was asked then by Sheila Evans, who's the executive artistic director there, if I was interested in going into the larger room, mm-hmm. which might fit a lot of the fans, and doing it with an orchestra. And I was just delighted.
Excellent.
So, yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah.
And you basically got your start, if we look back historically, you got your start in New York?
Yes, in the dinosaur age.
Oh.
I was a young girl studying at Carnegie Hall with Chauncey Northern Sr., Dr. Chauncey Northern Sr., and from the age of about 9 until he passed away in 1992, when he was 90, I studied classical music. I started off very sweetly with some of the songs from the 30s, and then I moved on to Porgy and Bess and Tosca. And then I was really blessed to be able to don the Broadway stage, and that started a lot of my love with the music of the 20s and 30s, having done the music of Ubi Blake on Broadway in Ubi.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Before that, I did Shuffle Along, and that's all of his music. So that introduced me to that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I did in the show a song called I'm Craving for That Kind of Love by Florence Mills. And at the time, in the 20s, Florence Mills was one of the biggest stars on Broadway. She died, I believe, of a ruptured something or other, but very young. But it introduced me to that genre of music, and I've loved it ever since.
Mm. Yeah. And so it's brought you now to
Allentown
and
yes.
Jazz Cabaret Series.
Yes.
And
yes.
When you're here, are you singing with a quartet? Or are you singing?
The cabaret is usually, a saxophone is one of my favorite, alto sax, one of my favorite instruments. So sometimes I do just solo with sax or with the guitar, mm-hmm. then the bass and piano and drums.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, we have some pieces that we add here and again. And I was fortunate enough to start this at the Salami Gallery, which no longer is in Allentown, but we converted the gallery to a cabaret space.
Oh, nice.
And it was just delightful. We would, you know, give people a glass of wine, and then we would sit. I mean, my set sometimes was 2.5 hours long, and they would just keep asking for song after song after song, and I was delighted to keep on singing.
So we heard, as your intro piece, we were listening to Lush Life.
Yes.
Yes, that was as a quartet, and with symphony it sounds so much more lush, as you phrased it.
Yes.
Anything in particular that comes out to you within the music itself, now that you're performing it with a symphony? Is there, I don't know how much saxophone there is, even though it may be one of your favorite instruments.
Yes, it's not. Now what really comes to mind is that I begin to appreciate the other instruments and how they contribute to the piece as an orchestration. The orchestrations and arrangements were done by Ken Moyer, and Ken played sax for me and was my musical director at that point. And now what he's done is added all these other instruments and shown me what they can do. Like in Supper Time, which is by Irving Berlin, that I do in the show, what is usually done by a sax will be done by a French horn. Just delightful just to hear the clarity of it and the fluidness of it. It's just beautiful, you know. So it's educating me as to what other instruments can contribute to the pieces that I've done before, you know, in that manner. So, yeah.
And so the concert is next Saturday, January 23rd, 7:30 p.m., Miller Symphony Hall. And for our listeners, for those who may not know, it's 23 North 6th Street in Allentown. If you're interested in tickets, you can phone the box office at 610-432-6715. And the title of the program is Lenny Godfrey Embraces the Standards. What other standards do you have within that program?
Well, we're doing It Don't Mean a Thing. I've got Satin Doll. There's that wonderful song, Fever.
Oh, yes.
That, you know, Peggy Lee. Oh, who would ever forget the way that she used to do that?
Absolutely.
I remember listening to her as a young girl going, maybe when I grow up, I could be that sensual. And then there's a wonderful song that I do called Guess Who I Saw Today that was originally done in 1952, New Faces, the New Faces on Broadway of 1952 by June Carroll, who is still alive today.
Yes.
I believe she's in her 90s. And then it was really popularized by Miss Nancy Wilson. Mm. And so I remember, again, when I was younger going, gee, when I grow up, I'd really like to do that song. So it's one of my favorites that I do that. And then we have the Gershwin, Someone to Watch Over Me, you know, something like that. There's also Cole Porter's Miss Otis Regrets.
Mm-hmm.
And then I do the Mercer and Harold Arlen's Blues in the Night.
Oh, that's
and
another good
one. Yeah, you know, there are a lot of things, introducing people to that music if they haven't experienced it before, or reintroducing and acquainting, you know, reacquainting people with the songs that they haven't heard. Mm-hmm. You know, they don't hear them a lot anymore, you know, so.
I will say one positive aspect here for WDIY, we do have a Swing Sunday program.
You do. Yes,
Sundays,
you do.
5
yes.
to 7, and so our listeners do have the opportunity to somehow, for a bit anyway, reconnect to some of the very popular standards of the time.
Yes.
Would we like to air another selection?
Well, yes. We were just talking about Fever. So why don't we try to let the audience hear some of the fun that we have with that song.
Okay.
Okay.
Everybody's got the fever. This is something we all know. Fever isn't such a new thing. Fever started long ago. Never know how much I love ya. Never know how much I care. When you put your arms around me, I get a feeling that's too hard to bear. You give me fever. When you kiss me, fever. When you hold me tight, fever. In the morning, fever. All through the night. Listen to me, baby. Hear every word I say. No one can love you the way I do, 'cause they don't know how to love you far away. You give me fever. When you kiss me, fever, when you hold me tight, fever. In the morning, fever, all through the night. Bless my soul, I love ya. Take my heart away, and you you can take these arms, 'cause I'll never use them. Just believe every word that I say. You give me fever when you kiss me, fever when you hold me tight, fever in the morning, fever all through the night. Sun lights up the daylight, moon lights up the night. I light up when you call my name, 'cause you know I'm gonna treat you right. You give me fever when you kiss me, fever when you hold me tight, fever in the morning, fever all through the night, fever. What a lovely way to burn.
We've been listening to Lenny Godfrey herself. Tell us about your recording, Lenny.
Well, that is from my CD, Lenny Godfrey Doing It Her Way. That's also going to be available the night of the concert, along with the book that I've written here recently called Lenny Godfrey, Sharing Lessons Learned While Seeking the Spotlight, and T-shirts. So all of those things will be available at the concert next Saturday night. It's a convention of Lenny Godfrey that time there. Also, if people are interested in more of the things that I have done and am doing, I have a website, which is www.lennygodfrey.com. It talks about the plays that I have been directing here lately. There are two of them, you know. One is called Unentitled by Charles White, and the other is called Greenwood, An American Dream Destroyed by Celeste Bedford Walker. The first is really about the impact in 2008 of the economic depression on the middle-class black family. Hmm. And the second is on a racial incident that happened in Greenwood, Oklahoma, which is a suburb of Tulsa. In 1921, there was a racial incident, supposedly, that caused the town to be destroyed. And that play then just follows the wonderful lifestyle that the people there who had, who were upper class, and then all the frightening things that happened toward the destruction. Mm-hmm. So that's really lovely. And then there's a third play, believe it or not, that's happening at Arts Quest on March 21st. Ah. And that is called Lois's Wedding. It's by Bathsheba Monk, and it talks about the oil fracking. And, you know, Bathsheba is also the publisher of my book, so I have to really send kudos to her for being really a wonderful businesswoman. Mm-hmm. And so that kind of entails my life.
You're doing quite a lot. What got you into directing and producing your own plays?
I've been directing since college. Ah. I studied with Lloyd Richards, and Lloyd was the first black director on Broadway. He directed Raisin in the Sun.
Ah, yes.
And
okay.
I studied with him in college, and he used to tell me, if you don't see it, you must create it. Mm-hmm. And along with being able to perform, because I was an actress and because I was a singer, I didn't always see things that I thought people who were qualified around me were doing. So I started in college writing things, putting things together, compilations, and then employing actors and my friends, some people I didn't know. And it started then, and every other year or so since then, I would start to direct. But now I'm more seriously attending to it, only because I really don't see enough of what I want now, and I have a little bit more of a voice, and I can say it a little bit strongly, and it's really wonderful. I've come in contact with wonderful actors, and they are willing to deal with me as a director, and that's something, because I am a disciplinarian, and we really are putting together some beautiful portraits that I think that people will enjoy in the theater. So,
how did you choose these particular pieces?
I was reading. I was, you know, we put the word out that I was looking for new pieces that hadn't been done before. And they weren't, they didn't have to be all black anything. These two happened to be all black. Lois's Wedding is not. They just had to really give me a tingle. And when I get that tingle, that, and when I can't put it down, when I do it, read it in all in one setting, then I know this is something that I have to try to tackle. And those two did that for me.
Mm-hmm. And these two particular, the Unentitled and Greenwood and American Dream Destroyed, those are going through Pennsylvania.
What we're doing is that we are asking theaters not only in Pennsylvania but Delaware, in Texas, in California. They're in Chicago. There are theaters that are interested in doing the reading of it that would precede a production.
I see.
So that's the process. We're taking our time with it because when we bring it back to New York, we want it to be ready. We want everything to go because we really think that it is something that people should see on both levels.
So
we're doing them tangent. Really, both have a company that does both of them very strongly. I perform also in Greenwood. It's a double duty for me in that one. The other one I'm just directing. So it's a very strong company that I'm creating, and it's very much like the O'Neill when I was a teenager, and Lloyd Richards took me up there, and I saw the playwrights working with the directors and working with actors on their new pieces, and then the audiences comment on it. That's what we do also, and it's a wonderful process that we're creating now, mm-hmm. and I'm able to do that through my production company, which is Godly Entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm. And for these performances, let's say in Pennsylvania, do you have any bookings thus far?
No, not yet. No,
okay.
Not yet. We're still in discussions with people. As soon as we do, I will let you know.
Please.
Yes, well,
sure.
I'll come back and tell you all about it because I really think that the two readings were, the houses were packed in Pennsylvania and New York.
Mm-hmm.
And we had to turn people away. So I think that there's going to be great interest in seeing both of these things once we can fit into someone's season. The problem is, and it's not a problem, but the issue is that people do book years in advance.
In advance, yeah.
And so, you know, we're waiting for a slot because once they read it, they want it, but they've made commitments to other theaters, you know, other theater pieces. And that's only, you know, it's only fair. So what I have to do is build my own theater. Isn't that what I have to do?
That'll be your next step,
yes,
right?
Oh, yes, right.
Also, before we listen to another selection, let's hear a little bit about your book. You mentioned that earlier on. Looks like a wonderful book, and it's a beautiful picture on the cover.
Thank you very much. Well, I have to say thank you, Morning Call, for that article. And in the front of GO today. It's a wonderful photograph. It's done by Lori Smith, and she did hair and makeup and everything for it. She's a wonderful photographer. She's a Parisian model who is now morphing into that. Yes, you know, all these wonderful, talented women that I'm around. And it is really, when Bathsheba Monk said to me, I think it would be really great for you to write a book, I said, about what? Who wants to read anything about me? You know, I'm about working, you know. Mm-hmm. And she said, but that's the whole point, is that maybe you can tell people how you do work. And it really is, it's a guide. Mm-hmm. It's a guide to tell people not to give up. You know, it is a business of negativity. You get told no more than you get told yes. Mm-hmm. When you have a great day of about three yeses, you could go out and almost get drunk. Because it's almost, I mean, it's like, oh, if I drank, I really would get drunk. So mostly it's how to deal with all the things that you haven't been given and how to turn that around and make that a gift so it pushes you forward.
Mm-hmm.
And with it, what I do is I tell people my experiences. And everything looks so wonderful from the outside. Oh, you know, she's doing this. She's a lead in here. And she must have just drifted in from her living room. No, I don't
think
so.
It's hard work.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
It is. You know.
Yeah.
So that's what it's about. Yeah.
And your book signing event, sort of in tandem with the concert coming up next weekend.
Mm-hmm.
The book signing event is on Tuesday, January 19th from 12 till 2 p.m., so over the noon lunch hour,
mm-hmm.
over at the Moravian Bookshop in Allentown.
Yes, yes.
So we hope you are bombarded.
Oh, well, I hope so. I hope so. I know that Martin Luther King's birthday is the day before,
correct.
So people are off. And so when they come back, if they have energy now from their day off, to come in and see me, I'd love to see everyone. And then encourage them to maybe want to come and see and hear the concert. We're going to have fun that night.
Mm-hmm.
That concert. concert is, it's really like having, you know, when it was in the jazz cabaret, it was like having 200 some people in my living room. Now it'll be like having maybe 600 or 500 or 800 people in my living room. But it's the same feel. I just love it. You know, I just love doing that evening.
Mm-hmm. And so your books will be available at the concert. Your CD recordings will be available at the concert.
Yes.
Any chance of getting a signing at the concert?
Yes, I am going to
sign
it. You're
doing a meet and greet?
Well, afterwards.
Yes, afterwards.
Yeah. It's a lot to do before, but afterwards, oh yes, I always love to really talk to everybody to find out if they were satisfied, what they wanted to hear, what they didn't hear. And usually there is a song or two. I wanted you to sing this song and you didn't sing it this time. Can you put it in the concert the next time? And that's what I really try to do. I really try to canvas my audience so I can
plan for the future.
Yes,
as well.
Yes. I have one wonderful fan who comes and she said to me the other performance, she said, I have to tell you, you never disappoint. And I think if I get, if nothing else is written about me, if I can go, if anyone asks what I want written or anywhere about me, that I didn't disappoint.
Mm-hmm. That's excellent.
Yes.
Excellent.
Yes.
Let's turn once again to your recording. We'll give you a bit of a break, not much, but from your recording, Lenny Godfrey doing it her way, was there a particular piece?
Well, you know, one of the pieces that people aren't as familiar with is Miss Otis Regrets. It's Cole Porter. It's a 1926 song. It's a story song. So we'll, you know, give them a little bit, and then I'll finish it at the concert. See?
Excellent.
Yes.
Oh, I like that. Little teaser.
Yes.
Okay, so here's Lenny Godfrey doing Miss Otis Regrets.
Miss Otis regrets she's unable to lunch today. Madam, Miss Otis regrets she's unable to lunch today. She is sorry for the delay. But last night, down in Lover's Lane, she strayed. Madam, Miss Otis regrets she's unable to lunch today. When she woke up and found that the dream of love had gone, madam, she ran to the man who had led her so far astray. From under her velvet gown, she pulled a gun and shot her lover down. Madam, Miss Otis regrets she's unable to lunch today. When the mob came and drug her from the jail, madam, they strung her up on the old willow cross the way.
And if you'd like to hear more of that particular piece, again, it's one that's not heard too terribly often, Miss Otis Regrets. And, of course, that's Lenny Godfrey. And if you're just joining us, I do have Lenny Godfrey with me in the studio this morning. It's wonderful to have her here. She is the guest artist with the Allentown Symphony Orchestra. The Pops presentation next Saturday, January 23rd. 7:30 p.m. at Miller Symphony Hall in Allentown. If you're interested in tickets, you can call the box office at 610-432-6715. And the title of her performance, Lenny Godfrey Embraces the Standards. We were talking, Linny, about your book. Is there a particular, because you're doing a book signing on Tuesday, January 19th, noon to 2, Moravian Bookstore, Allentown. Yes. Is there a particular passage or something you'd like to impart to our audience?
Well, I think so. I'd like to start something. I believe I'm going to read a little bit more of it on Tuesday. So if I start it as
excellent.
A teaser, maybe, you know, you all will be interested enough. It's a piece that I wrote about being a protected child. It's Conversations with a Protected Child. One might wonder about the title of my first foray into dialogue through the social media. What is a protected child? Well, let me explain as much as I can. As a child of my generation, a child of the greatest generation, I was protected from the vicious, venomous reaches of racism by two parents who employed the tactics of a military general.
Oh, my.
I was an adult on the set of 704 Hauser before I discovered I was protected. There was an episode that never aired which discussed the ways black parents of the 1940s, 50s, and even 60s sheltered their children from the indignities of racism. It hit me on the show break that my parents had practiced this, and I was never aware of it. Sadly, my father had passed away months before. However, my mother was still alive. I rushed to the phone and posed the question to my sweet, ailing, fiery mother. Mom, did you create picnics and events on our trips to protect me from thinking or finding out that we were not welcome somewhere? There was a silence, and then an uncharacteristic, with a slight break in her voice. Tears immediately came to my eyes, for I know that even then my mother never wanted me to think that I was not allowed to do anything any other child could do. She was still protecting me.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Wonderful.
Ooh.
Wonderful.
Ooh.
Yes, very moving.
Ooh,
and
thank you.
Certainly
I go on to tell an event that happened. I actually recalled an event where her friend, my mother's Jewish friend and customer, wrote a lip-off of Englewood, New Jersey, and my mother protected me in a way. And it's I'll read about it on Tuesday if anyone wants to come and hear.
Excellent.
Thank
Wonderful.
You. It still
Phenomenal.
Brings,
tear
still get teary-eyed kind of thinking about it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. For our listeners, if you are interested in reading a bit more about Linny Godfrey, her plays, her new book, etc., and her performance on next Saturday with Allentown Symphony Pops Orchestra, if you go to today's Morning Call in the Go Guide, she is on front and center, page one. So do turn to that. Linny, it's been wonderful having you here.
Thank you very
I
much.
Wish you all the best. Wonderful Thank performance, you. I hope. Book signing next Tuesday,
Thank
January
you.
19th, Thank noon you. To 2, Moravian Bookstore in Allentown. And good luck with your plays. I wish you all the best in your
Thank
directing
you.
And production. And
Thank you for having me. Thank you, Dave Howell, for that wonderful article in Morning Call. And thank you all. I really love coming here. Always welcome. You all have always been very kind at WDIY. And thank you again for having me come this morning. It's always a pleasure to get up and make up and be fun and know that I'm going to come and be heard and seen on the radio.
Yeah, there you go. And we're going to close out with another wonderful piece from your recording, The Best Is Yet to Come. Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you. You're welcome. Thank you.
Out of the tree of life, I just picked me a plum. You came along and everything started into a hum. Still, it's a real good bet, the best is yet to come. The best is yet to come, and babe, won't it be fine? You think you've seen the sun, but you ain't seen it shine. Wait till the warm-up's underway. Wait till our lips have met. Wait till you see that sunshine day. Ain't nothing like it yet. The best is yet to come, and babe, won't it be fine? yet to come. Come the day you're mine, come the day you're mine, I'm gonna teach you how to fly. You've only tasted the wine. We're gonna drain that cup dry. Wait till your arms are ripe for these charms to surround. Well, 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 you think you've flown before, but you ain't left the ground. Wait till you're locked in my embrace. Wait till I draw you near. Wait till you see that sunshine place. Ain't nothing like it here. The best is yet to come, and babe, won't it be fine? Oh, the best is yet to come. Come the day you're mine, and you're gonna be mine.
And of course, that was Linny Godfrey from her recording, Linny Godfrey, Doing It Her Way. Again, she is performing with the Allentown Symphony Pops Orchestra next Saturday, January 23rd, 7:30 p.m. at Miller Symphony Hall, 23 North 6th Street in Allentown. For tickets, you can phone the box office at 610-432-6715. And for those interested in her book, that is Tuesday, January 19th from noon till 2 p.m. at the Moravian Bookshop in Allentown. So we wish her all the best and thank her for being with us. We're going to take a brief break and return with the music of Alan Hovhaness. Do stay tuned.